position this year.
Thank you.
And I hope all my committee is absorbing all that too, because I didn't do it alone. So here are our panel, and I'm going to introduce them. Griff is an 18-year member of CHOW with 6 years and 2 months of abstinence. He's maintaining a 40-pound weight loss and has held many positions in CHOW, including the Mr. Coffee position for years at the Santa Monica Saturday morning meeting. And we have Sweet Susie Q right here, a longtime member of CHOW since 2001. She has been abstinent for 2.5 years, and has been maintaining a 66-pound weight release. She has been in many service positions, including intergroup, secretary, and others. She's also very active in the phone bridge and our chair of raffles and hospitality. Give her a hand. And lovely Anissa. She has been in CHOW for 15 years and has an 82-pound weight release and 16 months of abstinence. 16 months. She's done all the positions over the years and is currently a Southern California intergroup rep. So there they are. So I think we're going to start with, Chris, were you going to start? I know that Q wants to be last.
Griff, compulsive eater. Can you hear me? Okay. Can I hear myself?
They want you to stand up.
Huh?
They want you to stand up, they can't.
Oh, okay.
You want
stand up? No, I'm fine. I spill my stuff all over my body. Whoa. I see water. Griff, compulsive eater. I thought about making notes. I've been around the 12-step programs for a long time. And can everybody hear me?
No.
Well, put your hearing aid in. No. And I've never made notes on what I was going to share, but I did look up in the dictionary surrender. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to at least have bullet points. I said, well, okay. So that's my first surrender, is I'm turning this whole thing to God, of what I might say here today. And I pray that I just might resonate with somebody here. Dictionary. Surrender, to yield, to give up oneself into the power or control of another, and that one's God, and not my girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend yet. I try and keep it on my experience with my surrender, surrender. I found isn't necessarily a force feeding on humble pie. I was out with my sponsor. We were having dinner the other night, and we talked about this prospect of humble pie. I said, "Can I mention that in a meeting? That's not food mention." And we said, "Well, I've never heard of anyone pigging out and binging on humble pie." Surrender. Well, my first surrender was, okay, now I'm diagnosed with diabetes, and a girl I was living with at the time said, I watched her go through the devastation of compulsive overeating, and I was right there along with her, but I got to see myself in the mirror of her eyes, and it was to the point where we were surrendering, and we wanted to do something about it. So she heard about this meeting in Santa Monica, the CHOW, and years before I had heard my AA sponsor, he said, "No, you don't want to go to OA. The good is is how, you know. And so I heard how, and I heard a lot of years ago, you know, that that was, you know, where the Nazis went. And if you want results, you know, you go to how. He says, that's the good. Well, okay, so here I was coming to how. And I was excited, and I was surrendered, you know. I said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to kick some tires for at least 30 good days. And, you know, I kicked some tires for 30 days, and I was amazed, you know. 30 days worth of questions, calling my sponsor every day, you know, like we do here, a disciplined and structured approach. But I loved it, and it worked great for me. The doctor says, well, you know, if you can do this, you know, cut me back with my diabetes medication, within the first 30 days, I was off all medication. He says, well on my way to goal weight. And he says, if you can do this, you know, he said, and he said some kind of fatal words to me. He said, if you can do this, he says, you're cured. Oh. that lodged itself in there, you know. And after a year of really glorious abstinence, down to goal weight, feeling really good, I did some emotional, it was over a breakup with that girl that I came into how with. This is on my amends list, my resentment list. Is somebody timing this thing? How much time do I have? No? Well, just get the cane and yank me off, you know. She came to the meeting with now her new boyfriend, who had my silk shirt on. Whoa! So I don't know. I ate over that. I just like plunged out of that meeting, and out of, you know, I was out there for a little bit, and you know, I've been in and out and in and out and in and out, in and out enough to know that this is my home and you guys are my family, you know. And you know, I love y'all. Even though I haven't met you, I can say I love you, you know. And that translates to I'd be willing to do what I had to do to carry the message to you, you know. Surrender. The way I see it for myself is all the 12 steps need a good amount of surrender. This is the very first ingredient. You know, the first step admitted we were powerless, you know, over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. That's a major surrender right there. But it came easy. It came easy. All I had to do was survey the wreckage, you know. And so the first step was great. All the rest of the steps take, for me, a degree of surrender. And I thought pretty deeply since they asked me to do this little talk on surrender. Well, what actually is surrender, and how do I incorporate that in my day-to-day life? Well, it's moment to moment. Almost every moment I need to surrender, because I, you know, if I ask myself, where is God in the mix, in this mix, then I know I'm on the right track. At least, you know, I might not be doing God's will, but it pleases him, I believe, that I think I am. Yeah. That was kind of a circuitous quote from Thomas Merton, who I like a lot. But so God, if I'm not doing what you want me to do here, you better yank me back with a lot of force, because I'm kind of headstrong, you know. So surrender is moment to moment. I could have bullet pointed some stuff, and then I probably would have forgot where I put my notes, you know. Oh, I did have another note. I thought it was pretty curious. There's a nice lady who's doing a translation into Spanish. And I was supposed to take a breath every now and then so you could catch up. I don't speak that rapid fire anyway, you know. And hopefully it's not too disjointed for you to translate. surrender, rendir, in Espanol, rendir, and entregar. I like it. It has a nice sound to it. So, you know, I surrender. With a passage in the book, it says, we ask His protection and care with complete abandon. We unreservedly place our lives and our care under His protection. You know, unreservedly. That's a tall order. You know, but I find that if it's moment to moment in my life, that comes closer to that ideal. The more I can do it, the more I can surrender out of my own stuff, my own human mission to us, the better off I am, you know. That's just about all I know about surrender. I'll sum it up by saying surrender is a good thing for me, you know, and I'm sure thrilled that I surrendered to C.A. Howe, you know. It's okay. Good time. Time's right. All right.
Hi, my name is Anissa, a grateful recovering compulsive eater. And I really can say I'm grateful today, you know, not just because, you know, I have the blessing of having a recommitted abstinence of 16 months, but there's been a lot of peace and a lot of healing that has taken place in my life because of these principles. And, you know, when Sheila asked me to speak today, is it 15 or 10 and 5? How does that work? 15. Okay, if you could just let me know when I have like 2 or 3 minutes. I just said whatever, you know. You know, there's so many. Today, acceptance means I just show up and I ask God for guidance and direction. That was not the case when I came in here 15 years ago. Basically, when I came in here 15 years ago, I was 24 years old, and it was my mission was to lose weight and get a man. All this other stuff y'all talking about, the higher power and surrender and and character defects and, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah, as long as this food plan worked, we'll be okay. And it did. And because I was so young and at that time I didn't have as much to lose, because we know that the disease is progressive, right? So at that time, you know, I think I only had about 50, I think, to lose or whatever, and I lost 41 pounds in 60 days. So for someone that's 24, only have about 50 to lose, and she only thinks that she doesn't need to lose weight and get a man, that's not good. Because some of y'all have known me a long time. You know I went crazy because I wasn't trying to accept anything except my mission. To get what I need to get. So yeah, it took a long time. You know, with acceptance, first thing I have to accept is that I'm an addict. You know, sometimes I feel like sometimes in this room, because, you know, alcohol and drugs sometimes is a quicker death than compulsive eating, that it's just like, oh yeah, I'm an addict and whatever, you know. It's kind of lightly said here, you know. No, I have a real addict mind. And my addict mind wants what it wants, when it wants it, now. Really, yesterday. Not now, I wanted it yesterday. And that's how my mind operates, and my mind operates, I know best. And what I think is should happen, and if it doesn't, I'm being punished. You know, because when I came in here with a very punishing God, you know, I came in here with this idea, my idea of God's will was, I meet my man of the dreams and he'll have a big horn coming out of his head. You know, well, but he'll be really nice. You know, it was like, okay, this is what you're going to get, this is you better be happy with it. That was God's will for me. Okay, so for me, having that type of concept of God, this punishing God, surrender, what the heck are you, surrender? You know, surrender to what, that? I don't think so, you know. Turn my will and life over to what? I couldn't even take it in, you know, the surrender thing and acceptance. Accepting what? Well, my lot in life is going to be misery. You know, that's the mindset that I had. So to really get to that place of acceptance, I had to really go there and really deal with my issue with my higher power. Because there is no way I'm going to accept that a situation is perfect just like it's supposed to be in God's world if I think God is out to get me. And it took a long, long, long time for me to get really honest that way. Because, you know, I was just talking about, you know, at lunch, you know, the program is so beautiful. You know, our food plan, if the physical issue is the main issue you're coming with, the food plan is designed perfectly. It deals with a lot of that issue. Your weight will come off, you know, but what happens to the rest of my life? You know, and it gets to a point for me that, you know, once the weight is gone, I'm going to really have to deal with how I show up in my life. Like the 12 steps said, taking these principles in all my affairs, you know, and for me to take these principles, I have to have some level of trust. And that I really had to do it. And it took a while. I had to develop a concept of a higher power that was of my own, that was not the higher power of my parents. And I'm not saying everybody's journey is like that, but, you know, there is a reason why conception of God is we understand God, you know, because to go this road, and this is just in my own experience, you know, you're going to have a trust in God. Because some things, my head, and I heard this said, and it wasn't in these rooms about God's will, because I was like, God's will, what is that? You know, God's will, someone said God's will is always beyond our plans. It's always beyond what we can think in our human mind, you know, and that took a lot for me to really accept, you know, and today, thank God, when things come up, you know, I can accept that everything is in divine right order and working for my highest good. You know, I get it that we have a higher power, but I couldn't get it that it was for my highest and best. Because my highest and best is what my head says is supposed to happen. And it's supposed to happen that way. And then my mission would be to make it happen that way. And that's where I get myself into trouble. Because then I create all this chaos, drama, confusion, and just try to force my conception of what should be in my life. You know, and so for me, acceptance is just, first of all, being willing to share with either my sponsor or program friends exactly where I am. You know, to not have, I don't have to share it to the whole world, but I need to have a core group of program friends that really get me, where at any moment I can share where I am and that know when it's my disease talking and not recovery. Because I don't care how long we are off of the sugar and the flour and in program, the disease thoughts can come up at any moment, at any time. I used to have this fantasy, oh, if I'm in program long enough and I work really hard, I'll never have to deal with those character defects. Da, da, da. That's bullshit. It's always going to come up. Now, it may not come up as much, certain things. It may not be, things may not last as long as they used to, where something would take me 6 months to work on. Maybe it just 6 days or maybe 6 hours or 6 minutes, but it still comes up, you know, and to me that's the biggest part of acceptance, that you know what, my head is going to try to convince me of some retarded stuff, you know, and that, you know, I got to check my thinking, you know, I got to check my thinking and I got to be honest, because those are the things for me in my experience, I've had some really brutal relapses in these 15 years that drive me to the food. After a while, I don't get the craving. I have not physically craved sugar or flour in a long time. Thank you, God. But that, I can't rest on that, is that, okay, I'm okay and I'm never going to eat again. What will most likely drive me to eat is letting my addict run wild in all the other areas of my life. And then I let my life get unmanageable because I'm not willing to take these principles in all my affairs. And then I want to eat over it. Because the uncomfortableness is just too much, and I have to calm it down with some food. That's what happened. That's what happened when I had my last abstinence. I think it was like 4 or 5 years or whatever I had. I don't remember. But, you know, I allowed my life to become unmanageable. I didn't take these principles in all my affairs, that acceptance, because I am a naturally willful and defiant person. That is my natural state of being. What recovery does is help me operate in a different way, you know. And I have to admit, today it is a lot easier because I trust my higher power more, and that's one of the main reasons, you know, because I've seen the benefits of turning things over, that it hasn't, like, the sky hasn't fallen down, you know. And I have to say, in this abstinence, in this 16 months, it's probably been the toughest months of my life. When I was in my disease this time around, it wasn't just 100 pounds that I gained was the biggest devastating effect of my relapse, because I got up to like 272 pounds this time around. It wasn't that. My disease spewed out in every area of my life. It destroyed me financially. It destroyed me professionally. My marriage was in shambles. There wasn't an area of my life that was not affected by this disease. My parents had to bail me out because my financial devastation was so tremendous. You know, I mean, it was just on every level. And I wanted to curse that as well. Why is this happening? But to be honest, it is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Because not only do I know this time around that weighing and measuring and having my food clean and all that is important. Don't get me wrong. I know it's important. But I also know that if I start getting willful and trying to force feed my life with my will, making things happen my way all the time, I know I will go back out there. And just from my history, every time I go out, I not only gain all my weight back, but some. I not only recreate my problems in my life, but they're always worse. You know, but God is so gracious. You know, my life is being rebuilt now. I'm more prosperous today than I was 16 months ago. And in the midst of a major recession, as of last week, I had two jobs. I chose not to do the second job anymore because I needed to devote more time to my program. I was unemployed when I came back this time around, in the middle of a really bad economy, you know. So these principles, you know, it's not just about looking good, which I'm very happy that I'm not 272 anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like being able to go into a regular store and going to the regular department and get clothes off the rack and, you know, wear things that are fitting and not worrying about my stomach being out here and my booty being out here, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about, even though I'm not at goal yet, but I'm at a place where I feel comfortable with my physical body. That's cool. But I want the promises, you know. I want the promises. You know, it talks about if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. I'm amazed right now. The healing that has taken place in my marriage today. I don't have to control my husband today. You know, I don't have to control my mother or my boss. You know, I used to think I was supposed to control everybody. I really did. I really thought that was my job. I thought I had all the answers. And if you just did everything my way, everything would be perfect. And that's not true. It's not true. You know, a lot of times what, you know, and I say this about my addict thinking, when I'm in my real addict mind and it's going, it's like the answer is going, it's like the stoplight says green and it's really red. I can't see the forest for the trees. You know, so I have to check in with people, and that's part of the acceptance. You know, the acceptance is that being a compulsive eater, being in recovery, means that every thought that comes up is not necessarily God's thought. You know, and, you know, having sober people, recovering people, abstinent people in my life that I could check these thoughts with, that's acceptance. You know, accepting that just because a situation looks embarrassing to me, like having my parents bailing me out, not a jail, but, you know, of a situation, you know, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I should be the one that's responsible, I should be the one that's da-da-da. You know what? It has been the biggest blessing of my life. And my parents say it's a big blessing to them because I was so self-sufficient, so, you know, mishave it all together, that I never gave them the opportunity for them to make their amends to me. My parents were in drugs and alcohol most of my childhood and were not there. Now they're happy they're in a position to be able to help me for once. You know what I'm saying? I never know why something is going on in my life. I never know. So I try not to make anything good or bad. That's part of my recovery today, to not automatically think something is good or something is bad. I don't know. But I know God knows. And as long as I'm in this program, as long as I'm staying connected to my sponsor, being in meetings, sharing honestly with my program friends, and I do have real program friends today. These are not people that, I'm doing an outreach call. No, it's not that, you know, even though that's part of the deal. But like Dolores always talked about, having a road dog, you know, having a group of folks that really know you inside and out. You know, it's okay to just show up at meetings and things like that, but I gotta let people get to know me. Let people get to know my little foibles and all that kind of stuff so they can really help me check reality. That's acceptance, you know, on a daily basis. And I used to think acceptance was this passive thing. Okay, I'll just lay down and play dead and just accept this is how it's supposed to be. This is my lot in life, you know, all this stuff, you know. And that's not the higher power I have today. You know, even though there might be things in my life that are very challenging and uncomfortable, but I know too today that this too shall pass, and it is in my life for a higher purpose. I know that at the depth of my being today because of these principles. Another thing that has helped me in acceptance is having a daily connection with my higher power. I was talking to Ann the other week, and one of the things that's very important to me is having daily prayer and meditation. Daily. That 11th step is real. The first time I was introduced to the 11th step was at a meditation meeting in Long Beach. And I didn't realize that how busy my head was. It's only 5 minutes that we meditate in this meeting. It sounded like World War III in my head. You know, I was like, what the hell? You know, it just scared me because I had never been still enough to hear the dialogue in my mind. So that prayer and meditation, if I don't leave my house without reading some program literature and sitting in the silence for at least minimum 15 minutes. Because I'm scared to step into any room without prayer and meditation. I don't know who's going to show up, you know? And that's a daily part of my thing because I've accepted myself that I know that my natural way of being is to force things in life. And that daily prayer meditation centers me. Okay, God, it's your day today. Help me. And not that every day is perfect and I do everything perfectly. I don't. But I do know that leaving that house with my prayer and meditation, at least I'm putting the odds in my favor that I'm not going to be as willful that day. That's really what it's all about, the 7 tools, all this stuff. It's helping us get enough ducks in a row, or I don't like to say ammunition because that's so violent, but, you know, making sure you're well-armed when you're going out. And I'm not talking about well-armed from the outside. I'm talking about well-armed from my head, you know, that I have enough, I'm fortified and enough to really be an example of the recovery and not the disease in my workplace, in my family, you know, in all those areas. So daily prayer and meditation is definitely important in the acceptance. And so I want to be mindful of the time, and thanks for letting me share.
Hello, everybody. My name is Q, and I definitely am a compulsive overeater. And for those of you that are listening to this on tape, I want to do a quick qualification. I'm 5'2", eyes of blue, blonde hair that my daughter gave me, and I've been around this program since I was introduced to this program in 1975, and I lost my weight and kept off about 60 pounds for a couple of years. Then I know the fatalness of this disease because my alcoholic in my life died of his disease in 78. And then I went out there searching for an easier, softer way. And there was not an easier, softer way. And it wasn't until I ballooned up to 205 pounds this 5'2" frame, that a friend said, "You're not leaving my house until you agree to go to a CHOW meeting." And so she took me to one at a library over in Cyprus, and that's where I began. And I picked up a sponsor who had a beautiful butterfly on her shirt, and I loved butterflies, and I was her first sponsee and so on, and it felt like I was coming home because I was doing this program again. And I just know that this is where I belong. And I do know that this is a fatal disease also, because I got abstinent right away, but I didn't stay that way. And I went out there again. And in 2007, my son was diagnosed with a terminal disease, and going to a thrifty drugstore on the way to visit him at the hospice didn't help him any. And he passed away in July of 07. And then on May 3rd of 08, my younger sister, who always ragged on me that she was my younger sister, very much overweight, taller than me, but very overweight, dropped dead. And I went back to Connecticut for her memorial service, and eating through that memorial service didn't bring her back. And I came back to the rooms, and it was at the memorial service for her that they played a song that I still have here today. They played the hymn, "Be Still, My Soul." And that was preparing me and gearing me up to talk about meditation today, because I learned about meditation by going to one of the 7 meditation meetings that we have here in the Los Angeles region. We are so blessed. And on the phone bridge, there's 2 meditation meetings, and in each of those rooms is one in Spanish, and I think that's just wonderful. And I learned through those rooms that I observed the people who were successful in these programs, and they were the people that were FISMs, food inventory step and maintenance sponsors. And the first time around, I hadn't done the steps. I hadn't gone through all of that. I didn't know what they were talking about. And so I went and became a FISM. And I got down to my goal weight at the convention in 2008. I was at maintenance, maintaining what I now call a 66-pound weight release, because I have released it out into the universe, and I don't have to go searching for it anymore. I no longer say I lost 66 pounds, because when you lose something, you want to go and find it again. No more. I don't want to do that. It is released, and it's out there, and I'm not going to go looking for it anymore. And now I learned a beautiful, simple meditation on Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And if you'll give me a 2-3 minute warning, I will finish my talk with that meditation. So I just wrote myself a few notes to keep myself on track, because I'm also a clutterer, and my mind goes all over the place. And I know the very first time they said you're going to be quiet for 1 minute, whew, 1 minute being quiet, oh, that's a long time. Woo! Well, now I increased that to 2 minutes. And 3, and now I'm up to 4 minutes, and it just goes, and it just seems more and more I'm able to do it for a longer period of time and have that peace and serenity. And I learned a slogan from these rooms, that serenity is not the absence of problems, but the ability to deal with them. And I don't do that perfectly either. Just ask my husband about the tirade I had about a month ago. You know, so I'm still a work in progress. And that's what this whole meeting and this whole CHOW program is. We are works in progress. And I'm 69 years young, and I still have a lot to learn. And I'm so thankful for Ray Z's example, that if she could start this program at 66, and she's almost 90 years old now and still going strong, well, I can get out there and do something new with my life. And I didn't plan financially very well, so I'm out cleaning somebody's house for $9 an hour. And I don't like that. So I'm going to become a storyteller where I can charge $50 for a half hour and not have to lug around a mop and a broom and a vacuum and all that sort of stuff. And I can have fun doing it and sharing, and it just seems to come natural to me to be a storyteller, and I've got all kinds of stories to tell, and I just love it. And the beauty of this program is that we have got books that help us so much. I did too look up a definition of meditation, and meditation is listening to God. It's a state in which the body is consciously relaxed and the mind is allowed to be calm and focused. And any activity that keeps attention pleasantly anchored in the present moment. Well, that's why I put this little bee onto my telephone, because that bee reminds me to be present, to be in this moment. And when I'm meditating, I listen, I hear the cars going by and the birds singing and the wind in the trees and so on. But then when thoughts start coming through my mind, I either let them go in and go right back out again, or I just say the word be to get me centered and to just be in that moment and be present. And when I've done that, God has done awesome things for me. And being a clutter, I overbooked myself one day. I really did. And I remember I was going to my sponsor's home, and she's here today. I was planning to go to my sponsor's home in Lakewood or near Lakewood. Then I was going out to Riverside. Then I was going to Sun City and having lunch with somebody. Then down to Murrieta to see my mother-in-law. Then back to Riverside to a graduation, where Johnny Erickson Tata was talking. Well, the day before I was planning all to do all of this stuff, the lady in Sun City, and she's a program lady who's here today, and I told her, you're part of my story, because God called, she called and said she had to cancel my lunch date in Sun City. And then I went to Riverside, and I got to play cards with my girlfriend, Joycey, and when it was time to go to Murrieta, I called up my mother-in-law in Murrieta. No answer. She wasn't home. So I just stayed in Riverside. I laid down on the couch and I took care of myself. And you know how we have to halt if we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And I got to relax and I got to meet my other friend for this graduation on time. And that's a big one for me. And now it's just been wonderful. And that's just one example of all the things that God does in my life. And we get more intuition with God. And I don't call things that happen coincidences. I call them God incidences. And I've got wonderful stories to share about God incidences in my life. And it's just been really great. And the other thing, too, God had prepared me not only with the fact that Be Still, My Soul was at my sister's memorial service, but then somebody introduced me to this video and about a contemplative prayer, and it talks about be still and know that I am God. And that's what I share. And when I'm on the phone bridge talking with people, if I sense agitation and upset with somebody, I said, can we pray and meditate? And I've shared this over and over, and I think maybe that's why I was asked to talk about meditation, because I share this so much, this simple little prayer. And I even wrote it out so that if anybody would like a copy, they can email me. So that you can have it in front of you is an easy way to remember, because I still haven't memorized all of the things about it. But our book here is so wonderful, because step 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And inside of this book, The 12 and 12, is the 11th step prayer, which has been attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi. And I'd like to share that with you because that's a very powerful prayer also. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. Where there is hatred, may I bring love. Where there is wrong, may I bring the spirit of forgiveness. Where there is discord, may I bring harmony. Where there is error, may I bring truth. Where there is doubt, may I bring faith. Where there is despair, may I bring hope. Where there are shadows, may I bring light. Where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek to comfort rather than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. And now here's my most important tool, my timer, because this way I don't have to watch my watch for when the dial, because I have an old-fashioned watch, comes around, and it's set for 1 minute, and I'm going to do this now after I say the seventh-step prayer. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Now we're going to be still for 1 minute. Oh, I didn't say be still and know that I am God. Well, we'll do this first. Now that's 1 minute, and what I should have done before that is say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and be still. Be. And then I like to close with the third step prayer. God, and you can all join me on this one. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. Thank you for letting me share. And if anybody would like me to email a copy of this, and see, even with it printed out, I still messed it up. I'm still a work in progress. And I am going to be setting up a Gmail address of qbstill@gmail. And so don't try it until Monday, because I haven't set it up yet. Well, that's the procrastination part of my...
I got my laptop.
Yeah. qbstill@gmail.com. Thank you all very much.
This concludes our program. If you'd all stand and give our panel a hand. Great job. You have... 15 minutes before the next workshop begins, and so please come back to your workshops.